Podcast with Jake and Ash.
Welcome to the Media Guide, your one-stop shop for all things entertainment. Or at least the things that we find entertaining. My name is Ashton, my co-host's name is Jake.
Hello.
And this is going to be a short episode, but we did want to touch on one of the most popular movies of the year. And we decided we would just do a quick review of The Martian. So if you missed our episode that came out earlier this week, where we did this week's topic, which was a lot of fun, we kind of judged current movie stars and asked if they really had a great career. And part one of that was before this. Part two of it will be after this. So this is a nice little break in the middle. But do check those out. They're a lot of fun. We had both of our girlfriends on, and they made us laugh for like 2.5 hours straight. So,
yep, that did happen.
And it was so much fun that we've already decided we want to do it again with some input from you guys. But until then, what did you think of The Martian? That's how reviews go, right?
Yeah. I'll start with what you thought of The Martian, because I read the book, so I have predetermined opinions.
There's the disclaimers. Again, I don't know how to read, so I knew that there was a book that was very good, apparently. I really liked the movie. I did. I went and saw it in a pretty empty theater by myself, which was surprising. But
really?
Yeah.
What day of the week?
A Friday.
Really?
No, Saturday.
During the day, then?
Saturday night.
Wow.
I know. Okay. It's like everybody else was like, we're going to the bars. Everybody's going to the bars, right? And I was like, yeah. And then I went to the movie theater right next door.
Nice.
Yeah, but no, it was really, really good. And I heard a couple, I stayed away from reviews. I had a feeling it was going to be good. My expectations were pretty high. And we'll get into a lot of it coming up, but it was a lot funnier than I thought it would be, which was a great surprise. And so that alone, plus Damon's performance, I think it was a win.
Okay. See, I'm glad you thought it was funny, because honestly, after reading the book, I thought it was not as funny as the book.
Okay.
So I was wondering if it would have played off as not funny enough to maybe someone who hasn't read it. I don't know. I've been trying to judge it apart from the book, because it was very good. I did really enjoy it. And I also really enjoyed the book, and they left a bunch of stuff out. I get why they left it out. It didn't really change anything about the plot. Just, he goes through a lot more shit in the book.
Like a lot more setbacks?
Yeah, and I get why they wouldn't want to constantly just be like, okay, now this happened. This bad thing happened. Now this bad thing happened.
I mean, it makes sense for a book, honestly. And we're going to do our best not to just spoil this. It is a new movie. I think, can we agree we at least recommend going to see it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, okay.
Despite them leaving things out, and I 100% understood why they left things out. Because, I mean, a lot of it was just, it was already a long movie. It could have been way longer.
Yeah.
So,
So I guess that's one of my only, I have a couple negatives. One, the length. It seemed weird enough to drag on in parts where I thought they could have cut out some of the turmoil, maybe some of the traveling. And I get why they had it in there.
Oh, God, because there was, I thought there wasn't enough of that. But, I mean, again, based off the book, because so much stuff happens in his travels.
I think that's what it was. It was because it was just so, like, the same thing of him just going and going. And I know why they did it. It was kind of to create this illusion of just never-ending struggle. You know, kind of like crossing the desert if you're Moses. Like, I get all that. But I just felt like if you could have shaved a little of that off, I think it would have made the movie a little tighter.
See, there was stuff about the, part of me, I get why they didn't put it in there. He, during his travels, he has no communication with NASA in the book.
Okay.
He lost it. He never loses it once he gets it in the movie. And I thought that was important, and I wish they had left that in. Maybe not important, but I think it added a lot of drama to his travels, because he's having to figure it out all on his own. He has no help until he gets to where he's going. But, you know, it, I could see it dragging a little bit. I'm happy with the humor. I thought Matt Damon did a great job. I did think they completely wasted Kristen Wiig.
It was surprising seeing her in it, period, but was her character supposed to be funny?
Yeah, her character is really funny. I think the main thing is they decided to make this movie PG-13 and, like, there's fucks like every other word in the book.
Yeah.
But the way they did that
was funny to me.
It was funny watching them try to, like, you know, dance around fucks.
Yeah.
I do think that they wasted their one fuck.
When did they say it?
It's just like him, like after he, in the very beginning, basically, like once he surgically repairs himself, he's just like, fuck.
Oh, okay.
And there's so many good fuck moments.
Which you would do book. If you're in his position.
Right. Well, even from other characters, there's so many good ones that, like, I think they wasted it. Like, the book starts with the lines, I'm fucked.
So this is a new book, correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, I think it came out in the last year or so, I think.
Okay, but I do want to compare it because it's very comparable, and I want to use it as a positive for the movie. I think we mentioned it before. This is basically Castaway, but on the on Mars, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of comparisons, and they're fair.
And I personally liked Castaway. I know some people go, like, it was too long. There's some complaints.
It was nominated for an Oscar, so...
And that means everything.
I'm saying you're probably in the majority of liking Castaway.
Yeah, so the positives, though, I can't, and it's been a while since I've seen Castaway, but I really, really like the dynamic, because I was afraid going in that it was going to be a lot of Matt Damon talking to himself, talking to the computer, talking to an inanimate object, and they kind of hinted at it a little bit, that he had his own little Wilson, but they didn't go that way, thankfully. But I really, really appreciated the way that they cut back and forth between NASA trying to figure shit out and cutting back to his plight. And I think the dynamic worked really well for the audience. What did you think about that?
Right. And I was okay. That's pretty much how the book goes. It's his part is told completely through logs, they're written for us, but I mean, it might be a video log. Who knows? And then it goes into, like, typical, like, third-person kind of narration when it goes to, like, NASA and stuff. So I thought they did a really good job with that. Like I said, my only real issue with the NASA stuff was that Annie, which is Kristen Wiig's character, she's foul-mouthed and outspoken, and they really just kind of... I mean, how many lines did Kristen Wiig even have? It wasn't many.
It was a lot of looks.
Yeah, so I remember reading... That was my favorite casting they did when I read the original cast list. I was like, oh my god, Kristen Wiig's going to be perfect for Annie. And then they just really nerfed her character. I'm hoping for a director's cut that's R-rated and we get all of our fucks.
Well, speaking of directors, let's just say real quick, Ridley Scott, he's back for a little bit.
Well, he did a good job with this.
He did a really good job until he goes back to whatever weird planet Prometheus was on.
Yeah, it looked really good. Music was good.
Do you think the whole 70s music thing was a little cheesy compared to the fact that we just had that with Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, because, I read the book.
Okay.
He bitches about the only music he has is Commander Lewis's zip drive of disco
Jessica
music.
Chastain.
Yeah, he has a zip drive, her zip drive that has a bunch of disco on it, and he bitches about.
So they couldn't take an iPod on this futuristic Mars mission.
I have no idea, but he has a zip drive with a bunch of disco. I mean, I guess they get like one personal item or something. I guess that was hers, like.
Yeah, the cross with the other
guy. Yeah, the cross, you know, that kind of stuff. She also has a lot of, like, 70s TV on there, so he watches a lot of Three's Company and Dukes of Hazzard and comments about those a lot in the book.
Does he say how racist Dukes of Hazzard is?
No, he doesn't really talk much
about that. And how he really wishes that the General Lee didn't exist anymore?
No, that's not really mentioned. But there's okay. a few things that like I'm legitimately upset about that were not involved, and they're all very minor, have nothing to do okay. with the story, but they're very, very, very funny moments, and that's they even lead into it a couple of times where, like, when they first find out Mark Watney is alive, they go, I wonder what he's thinking right now. In the book, it cuts to one short log, and it goes, how can Aquaman talk to whales? They're mammals. And that's it. And I wanted that to be in there really bad. The other thing, when they're kind of communicating, and he tells them to watch his language or whatever. In yeah. the movie, they kind of all, like, they're all, like, kind of embarrassed and squeamish at whatever he replies, but they never show what he replies. In the uh-huh. book, he sends, like, parentheses, period, parentheses, parentheses, period, parentheses, dot, 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 boobs.
Yeah. I think they could have done that on screen.
I did, too. That's... That would have been really funny. I mean, it was funny in the movie the way they did it, but, I mean, I yeah. think they should have just shown the boobs. It was fun.
Yeah, show some tits.
Yeah, some emoji
in digital form.
Yeah. and the other thing, and I wanted it so bad, I said it before the movie started, it was the main thing I wanted them to include, and they didn't, because it was the funniest thing that happened in the book. Along his trip, he keeps using, and there's a lot of science in the book.
Yeah.
And he keeps talking about this unit of measure. I can't even remember what it is. It's long and boring, so he decides to give it its own
name. Is it parsecs?
No. It's like a long something per something something squared, whatever. Okay. It's yeah. boring and he doesn't like saying it, so he decides to give it its own name and he calls it Pirate Ninjas. And he continues to refer to that unit of measure as Pirate Ninjas for the rest of the book. And I love that joke. And they didn't include it.
Yeah, I've said this before. I'm a movie viewer. I don't want a book to be required to go see.
No, and it wasn't. It didn't. No, and nothing story related did you really miss. Nothing that affected the overall story did you miss. Yeah. I mean, you missed some more trials that he went through. Like there's a storm that happens along the way that he has to navigate. He does lose communication with NASA and has to speak through like rock pictures telling them what's up, but he can't hear back from them. But you know, there's nothing major changed or missed by not reading the book. So,
so because we're about 10, almost 15 minutes in, what do you think like your top two things about this movie would be? You can talk about the plot, you can talk about the casting, you can talk about the theme.
That I like.
You can even talk about, yeah, that you like. And we'll do the opposite in a second. I just want to hear just kind of your big thing that stuck out to you.
I mean, despite taking out my favorite jokes, I think they did capture a lot of the humor of Mark Watney, which I think is okay. a big thing. Because the reason he's even selected to go to Mars is because he's funny, he's personable, he gets along with everyone, and he's resourceful. That's why he's picked for the mission, because everybody likes Mark Watney. And you know, it's six people that have to be together for a year, so they need them to be likable. So I think they did a really good job with that, and really the whole crew. I loved the casting overall was just great. I mean, I said the one thing about Kristen Wiig. I didn't love that they changed the Indian guy Venkat Kapoor to Vincent Kapoor. But I mean, who's gonna complain about having that quality of actor play the character, you know?
Yeah.
I liked Donald Glover.
You did.
I thought I might not from the trailers, but I did like him. And then it was a beautiful looking movie. I thought, the CGI never looked like CGI. It never took me out of anything. So, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
I liked a lot about it. Yeah.
No, clearly. And I'll go quickly on things that I liked. I really liked how, I knew there was going to be a lot of science. I kept bragging about it. And not only the movie, but people kind of previewing it. They're like, the science is accurate and it's all over the place. And I'm sitting there going, how are they going to convey this? Because we can have him talk and say, I got to, you know, A plus B equals C all day, but you got to make it interesting. So they did a really good job, again, bouncing back and forth between him having to explain to NASA and NASA explaining to him, which in reality they were explaining to us. And they did a really good job of it and showing models and, you know, the mirror effect of NASA being able to do it with all their fancy equipment, where he's doing it with piles of crap. Literally, really good job on that. I'm 50-50 on the cast. I think that Damon is fantastic, and the ending, when he sold me, because I thought for most of it he was Matt Damon, just kind of being a guy. And then at the very end, I was tearing up when he started to really realize that, holy shit, I might pull this off and get to see, and you mentioned this before, not his family. He didn't have a family, his parents, which I like that a little, you know, but there was nothing like, I got to get back to my kid, I got to get back to my wife. It was just seeing somebody. And when he sees Jessica Chastain, without spoiling too much, and he just breaks down. I was like, yeah, I was rooting for him hard.
Fantastic in those last. I mean, he's really funny and personable, like Matt Damon usually is.
Yes.
For the whole first part of the movie, but when he finally starts to realize, hey, I might get off, he's fantastic. He shows human emotion, like
he does. Any of his,
you won't see much better.
Yeah, and I was watching the movie and I was trying to think who could have done the role, and weird enough, I did for some reason think of Ben Affleck just a little bit. Because you can kind of think of his role in Armageddon. So
my cast was always Chris Pratt.
Okay,
was who I wanted to be Mark Watney. I don't know that he could have pulled off the emotional Mark Watney at the end, like Damon did. But I think he would have maybe done the humorous part of Mark Watney a little better, even
maybe.
Not to say Damon was bad. He was very good.
Yeah, on the NASA side, real quick, I just want to talk Jeff Daniels and EG4. I'm going to go with the last name. Their chemistry together, I thought, was really good. I heard somebody kind of give a preview that Daniels was a villain, so I had that in my head going in. And the whole movie, I was like, is he going to do something that? I know this is my point. There was no villain. The circumstance was the villain. No villain. And so I had
Mars
this
is the antagonist.
Yeah, that damn red planet. So I had this weird preconceived notion that he was going to do something dastardly, but as the movie went on, I was like, no, he's being extremely realistic and I really liked it.
That's what's so great about the story and why I love the book so much is, no one does anything that every decision that's made by any character, you completely can understand where they're coming from and making that decision.
Yeah.
You might have your own opinion on what the right decision is, but you can at least understand why they're making the decision they are.
Oh, yeah.
So
go ahead.
I think it was very, realistic, you know, despite it being so unrealistic in the situation. So I think that's part of what makes it so great. And again, the science is pretty accurate if the technology existed. The one thing that definitely the writer even admitted that he did change that is not realistic scientifically is that storm, the speed of the winds that they say, or at least in the book, I don't remember what they said the speeds were in the movie, but
they said 1 billion miles an hour.
Did they?
No, but I feel like that would be unrealistic.
Well, it's like 160 miles an hour or something in the book.
Okay.
And that speed in Mars's atmosphere would be like an oscillating fan blowing papers off your desk. So he did say that he kind of fudged that a little bit just for the sake of story. But
okay, well,
you know,
it's a
that's
story.
Something I'm not gonna complain about.
It's one of those things.
So.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people are like, well, what if they had cell phones in this movie? Oh, okay, well then the movie would be over and there would be no movie and you'd leave after you were waiting in line for your popcorn. So you have to have a movie. I do want to go into a couple negatives though, because it's really, really good. It lived up to my expectations, I'll say that. It's not a perfect film. Back to the cast. I'm not going to give negatives to any of the cast. I personally didn't like Donald Glover's character. I just thought he was a little overacting. Like, he was just a little weird. I get what his point was supposed to be, but it was a little too much for this world that had been created. The rest of the the crew, totally fine with. Nobody really added anything amazing. Nothing. Nobody hurt.
I thought Michael Pena was really good.
He was probably the best of it.
In an understated kind of role, like, you know, the past things we've seen him in, he's been, like, you know, one-liner kind of punchline funny. Yeah. And I think he was very funny, like, in a just a normal conversation kind of way. And that was really nice.
I thought
the dynamic just through the computer screen between he and Mark Watney were great.
Yeah, I did feel like there could have been a bit more idea of them leaving their brother behind when they find out, because they do build up to that a lot. And I think they kind of glossed over it pretty quickly. That's just my opinion. Same with the NASA side. I don't think anybody added or subtracted to the performance other than the two main guys that we mentioned, Sean Bean. I mean, I don't think he added much. The last thing I'll say, this is my only real negative in the movie, because the cast, that's just a very small nitpick. The very end, they were teetering on the edge of jumping the shark. And do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Unless you're the Iron Man, I don't know.
Yeah, the Iron Manning and the losing the front of the ship kind of stuff. I just thought...
That does happen.
What does happen?
In the book.
Oh, I'm not worried about it being in the book. Fine, the book jumped the shark. I'm just saying, like...
The thing does not happen.
Yeah, that...
He
does
make
what bugs me more.
But he never actually gets to do the Iron Man thing. Also, Beck is the one that gets him out, not Jessica Chastain.
I don't know who Beck is. Is that Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's an example of somebody I didn't think added or subtracted, really. He was just kind of filler.
That's why I'm saying I feel like there's more performance from these actors block, and I want to see I'll sit through the five-hour version of this.
Do you have any negatives
in my living room, anyway?
Do you want to add any negatives at all? You don't have to.
I stated my main negative about, you know, cutting some of my favorite jokes. Sean Bean, I forgot about him.
Did you think he was supposed to be killed by somebody?
No, I knew he wouldn't be.
See, the whole movie, I was like, is Donald Glover gonna kill him just because?
He was another character that, I think it all comes down to time. So much was happening, so much does happen, and you have to... This book's not an overly long book, but it's a dense book.
A lot
happens, yeah. And it's a lot easier to make all this stuff happen when, you know, someone's just telling you what happened as opposed to actually showing it.
Yeah.
Because the whole... everything that happens to him is told through logs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there was stuff that could have added to the movie that had to be left on the chopping block. And I think part of that was performances and character building of the more minor characters. And they focused a lot on Donald Glover's character, a lot more than in the book, I feel like, and less on some of the characters that are bigger deal.
Which, again, I don't want to harp on this, and I don't want to go too into the details of what actually happened, but his big plan, is that not the same plan we've heard in, like, every science fiction cartoon, TV show, movie, the whole slingshot effect going around a planet? I mean, I've heard that 100 times, and we needed this super genius.
The big thing is he comes up that I don't think they did a great job of explaining in the movie. His big thing is with the timing of launching... Like, they're moving when all this stuff happens, so they have to launch supplies. They're moving fast when this happens. They have to launch supplies into orbit so they can catch it while they're passing Earth, and then they have to be able to catch him while they're passing Mars. So his big plan mostly is, how do we make it to where they can survive to go all the way back to Mars and then back again? That's getting them the food. And how do we time it perfectly so that Mark is there in time launching as they're passing, because if they miss it, it's done.
Yes.
That they have one shot. And so his plan was making that math exact. And I don't think anyone was ever really considering sending them back, because it added like a year and a half to them being in space.
Yeah. So overall, we can agree. We don't do a rating system on the show, but we do like to recommend seeing it. is that how we grade these things?
Yeah, sure. I mean, okay. I think we would both recommend it, right?
I'd highly recommend. I would go see it in theaters. I got tricked by the little twerp at the movie ticket stand into seeing it in 3D.
It was filmed in 3D.
Well, I don't think it added anything.
I did not see it in 3D, so.
Yeah, I don't think it added anything at all, so don't worry about that part. But it is worth seeing in theaters, I believe. And if you're lucky, like I said, it was empty. There was enough in there that the laughs, or the jokes at least, got some laughs. So yeah, it is something you do want to see with a crowd if you can.
I think that they did a good job of making it. It gets intense, and you're worried about him, whether or not he's going to make it during tense moments. So much so that my girlfriend who was there with me, she's read the book. She knew how it was going to end, and she was still like gripping my hand, like nervous for him. And I'm like, you know how this ends. She's like, I don't care.
You know that the aliens teleport him. It's nobody. I'm sorry, that was a spoiler.
You know that he finds an actual Martian.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, I think that's about it. I don't want to go too much into it, because if you haven't seen it and you just wanted our opinion, I think it's pretty. It's solid, and even more so than that. So I definitely go recommend seeing it. I would see it again. I think that's one of the ways we kind of judge these kind of movies. I would gladly see it again when it comes out, and I'd gladly watch it with somebody who hasn't seen it before. So other than that, I think we're done with this review. Again, if you missed
For any minor spoilers, the movie's still good, even if you know some things. So
the movie's definitely a movie about the acting and the weird connections between the characters who are nowhere near each other.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Nothing we could spoil could really change that. Yeah. But if you did miss any of our topic this week, which again was actors being put on trial, basically with our girlfriends, you can find those and all the rest of our episodes on iTunes or on Stitcher. If you don't have an iOS device, you can find all of our episodes and news on our website, which is MediaGuidePodcast.com. Jake, where can they write us in?
Twitter. Did we already say Twitter?
We haven't said Twitter.
I zoned out.
We
Twitter,
said URL.
URL. Okay, so you can write us in at Twitter at MediaGuidePod, or email MediaGuidePod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Facebook is happening. Probably in a year.
It's totally happening.
It's under construction.
It's so happening. Oh, you're talking about we're going to have a Facebook. I thought you were just trying to be a weird, like, dad saying something weird.
We're never going to have a Facebook.
Probably not. It's hard.
I don't like it.
Yeah, okay. Does it mean we have to update statuses every day?
I don't want to do how it. Facebook works. I'm not good at Facebook.
Anyway, do you want to answer one email before we go?
Sure.
Okay, so we have we got one email in particular that I wanted to read. This is from Diligence. Yeah, but it's with a Y, and I don't think it's spelled anything like that. I don't know. Anyway, his question makes way more sense. What is the biggest drop in quality from a movie to its immediate sequel?
Like in general, or am I thinking of a specific example?
I think he's asking you. Like what movie? Yeah, like what movie did you see that when you saw the sequel, you were like, holy crap, what have they done?
Yeah, no, that's what
I don't know. I don't know.
Are we talking about a specific movie, or are we talking about just in general, movies in general? What are some tropes that commonly happen that make sequels worse?
Oh, I think we're going to do maybe an episode on that. So I think let's just do one movie that sticks out in your mind.
You go first, because I have to think about it.
Super Mario Brothers 2. Oh, well, shit. Mortal Kombat 2 really somehow went from a D movie to a F-minus movie. That was pretty bad.
What an example. I don't know how much I actually like The Hangover, but The Hangover 2 is a really good example in that they, I think the biggest issue with sequels is, how can we make this original but also have the same kind of feel as the first one? And the Hangover 2's method was, let's come up with a scenario that puts them in the exact same scenario, just in Thailand.
Exactly.
And it was to the detriment of the movie. And I think also they were like, how can we make it more extreme and offensive what happened to them, you know?
Yeah, Speed 2, you kind of got rid of Keanu Reeves. That wasn't a good decision.
Yeah, recasting or getting rid of the main character is never good.
Not at all.
That's never a good sign. Except for in The Dark Knight, getting... Well, I don't know. Was Katie Holmes and Maggie Gyllenhaal? That didn't really matter.
No.
Just no one cared.
We're talking main characters. He didn't even notice she was a different person.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers 2000? Is that a sequel? I don't really know.
Yeah, kind
of. That was kind of under necessity, though. John Belushi didn't really want to participate.
Because he was not living?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. That'll kind of put you down. Is that making everybody sad? About a new project.
I think we may have touched on this before, because I think the biggest one for me would probably be The Matrix. Matrix 2 always bummed me out.
So going from like a cool original idea to
just we have to keep
turning
going.
It into a CGI fest.
Yeah, did you ever see Anchorman 2?
No, I still haven't watched it. I think the big problem with The Matrix 2 was he knew that, you know, because I was in middle school when The Matrix came out. So when we watched The Matrix second, fourth, fifth times. I said times twice. I don't know. Oh, I'm losing
Dose
my mind.
Of keys.
It's been a long day. You know, we just fast forwarded to the action scene at the end.
Yeah.
And I think he knew a lot of people were doing that. So he's like, let's just put an action scene every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, or they did. It was multiple directors.
Yeah.
One was now female.
Yeah. We're not going to go over that. We've met our quota for talking about transgender celebrities in this podcast. Not this episode, but as a podcast overall.
Sure.
We're at 2. So that's going to do it for this episode. We will talk later weeks about hopefully sequels that are better than their predecessor. Maybe we'll talk about just horrible sequel tropes that just ruin franchises, like bringing in a child sidekick. That always bugs me. That's pretty much it. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you later in the week. My name is Ashton. That is Jake. Bye.
Goodbye.